Well, the thrill it is being able to come to church on Sunday. Now, we know we got a lot of people sick, and you need to pray for them. Amen. Good to have Bruna here tonight. And Valentina, God bless you, sis. We love you. And we're glad you're all here. And glad Mrs. Coach Yu is finally out of the cave, amen, and getting got better, amen. Thank God for that, amen. Pray for folks that are sick. I believe your wife's going in for surgery on Wednesday. That's correct. There's Rosalie's going to have her knee operated on. Pray for them. My little buddy Wilkie, he's got a knee problem. I don't know what's going on with him, but pray for these folks that are sick, and pray for the Donahue clan, their little boys that have been sick. Good night. That's a terrible thing. Terrible and sick. Little Lillian going in for tests tomorrow. That God would certainly be with her, and so let's pray. Let's pray. Amen. Pray for me. I've got to go to Intermountain Baptist Fellowship. I got to preach there Tuesday night. I'm finishing it off. I was looking to try to get somebody to take care of my wife, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, so I'm going to have to take her with me. But you pray for me as I travel with her. It's kind of difficult, and she's not much of a traveler anymore. She don't like that sitting in the seat very long, so I don't know. So pray that God gives me wisdom as I preach. They asked me to preach a message on finishing well. And I'm telling you, I got a lot of illustrations, amen. So pray that God would help me and that God give me wisdom as I do this. I thought I was going to have somebody help, and they have a big banquet, and they can't do it. So we'll just go. We'll do what we can, amen. That's all you get. That's all you get. That's what you get. It's all you get, amen. Let's stand and read tonight one of my favorite songs in the Bible, Psalm 23. This is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And I'll underline that last word, forever. That's God promised you. It's God promised you that he will be with you forever. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, tonight, that we would be encouraged. Lord, that you would give us strength. Lord, you give us wisdom to know what to do and when to do it and what to say and what to say. We ask you, Lord Jesus, tonight be a blessing and help and encourage it to our folks. And, Lord, be with those that are sick tonight. Lord, I pray for the little Donahue family, Lord God, that many of those little boys have been sick. Pray, God, you'd heal their body and strengthen them. Pray for little Lillian, Lord God, that you'd heal her and strengthen her. I pray for a friend of mine that their little baby is going through surgery, and just a little infant, Lord. I pray you'd heal, give the doctor the exterior of hands as they work on her upper roof of her mouth, Lord, and help her to be able to. I pray also, Lord Jesus, for my cousin Diana, Lord, and her Alzheimer's, Lord. I just pray, God, you just really encourage her, Lord Jesus, in this time that is so afraid of what's going to go on and how he's deteriorating so fast. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, for Mrs. Crawford, Lord, you'd heal her body and strengthen her, give the doctors wisdom. And, Lord, I pray for Rosie Lee and help her, Lord, and Lord Kelly. Lord, and many folks have just been having a hard time. Lord, I pray you'd help. Now, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, be with us tonight and work in our midst. Keep us healthy and strong. Lord, there are some folks here tonight that have an unspoken request. Lord Jesus, their heart is broken. They don't know which way to turn. But, Lord, you do, and you promise to take care of us. And we ask you, Lord, to do that. Put your arm around us, Lord Jesus, tonight. Lord, sometimes we just like climb up in your lap, Lord, and just have you hug us and tell us it's going to be okay. And, Lord, I just pray you guide now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. One man said, everything I know I learned from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. Number two, remember that we are all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number four, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Thank God for his three sons. Amen. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. That's a good one. Amen. Just get on with the job. Number six, build your future on higher ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snail was on board with the cheetahs. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. I like that. Number ten, remember the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. Number 11, and the best one of all, no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow awaiting. Always a rainbow awaiting. In the life that we have in this life, in fact, all through the Bible, it talks about the troubles and trials and sorrows that we have. All of us do. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. You're going to have some troubles and sorrows. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you were born. I don't care if you had a silver spoon in your mouth or they just fed you with a chopstick. Let me tell you something. All of us go through troubles and sorrows in life. It's just part of our being. If you would, I remember my dear friend who said to me, she was 90, 94, 95. She said to me, I was preaching at the Cambridge Rest Home, and I said, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? And she says, preacher, I'm going to go over and whack Eve. And she understood, you know, because of the terribleness that Eve put us into by taking the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of it. If you eat of it, you're going to die. And because of that, they're in progression of dying. All of us are going to die someday. All of us, unless the trumpet of God shall sound, of course, but all of us are going to die. Well, all of us have our troubles. All of us have got our sorrows. It's pretty scary sometimes. You know which way to turn. Some of you have been through some pretty tough stuff in your life, and you just don't know which way to go, which way to turn. You don't know how you're going to handle this. You don't know how to pay this. You don't know how you're going to get bailed out on this. And some of you got bailed out. But anyway, that was supposed to be funny. I'm trying to help you out there a little bit. But the trouble is, there's things going on. Even out in the golf course, you can get mad. A lot of trouble out in the golf course, amen. I had a friend of mine, he got so mad, he took a brand new iron he had, and he wrapped around a sapling tree. I said, what's the deal? He says, that's a lousy shot. I said, that's not the club's fault. It's your fault, you know. And so I had some words with him and told him I'll never golf with him again unless he straightens up. Amen. I don't pay all this money to go out golfing and have somebody get mad and holler and scream and spit. And I saw him one time. I thought for sure when he spit, the fire was going. I thought I was really spit. He was mad. He was mad. And he was 16 years old. And I told him, I said, when you get be like, and it used to be during that time Tiger Woods was just tearing it up. I said, when you start hitting, somebody said Tiger Woods hit 360 balls every day in practice. I said, when you get that good, then you can get mad. But before you do that, Uncle Sheldon's going to get in this cart. You see this cart? And you do that one more time, and I'm going to drive back to the clubhouse, and I'm going home, and I don't care how you get home. Boy, he changed his attitude real quick, amen, so. Because he knew that he was in a foreign country and didn't know how to get to my house. Amen. The Lord is my, I would say the Lord is my strength. We can't get through this world without His strength. We can't get through our life without Him helping us. We're in desperate need. All of us are. We're just creatures of this earth. We're mortals. And you know, it's amazing how that you can just get a little pick on your finger, and all of a sudden that can kill you. You get some kind of disease or something, all of a sudden it's just gone. It's amazing when you get hurt or something, and how that can destroy your whole value of a life. It's amazing. You know, we're pretty tough. This old body of us, you know, it's pretty tough. But I'll tell you what, it's amazing what something can take us down and really make us sick. I think Dr. Williams, he and his wife were over in the Holy Land just enjoying life, just great, and all of a sudden she got viral meningitis, and all of a sudden she turned into an infant. And for 29 years, that man took care of that woman. 29 years. And I think of my friend Pastor Smith, who's taking care of his wife almost 20 years now. And, you know, just it's a tough deal. And so just some little thing, somebody pulling in front of you and, you know, and getting in a car accident, whiplash and whatever, all the things you can go on there. Just, you know, we are, the Lord has to be our strength. He's got to help us through these things. We can't do it alone. That's the biggest thing you've got to, Lord, I can't do this. Many times I'll tell the Lord, I said, in fact, I did last night. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. You got to help me do this. I can't do this alone. And that's where I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care the situation you're in, the problem you're in, the area you're in. Every one of you tonight needs God's strength to get through this life. Number two, the Lord is my song. Every once in a while, things get a little crazy. Especially when we're riding the car, and I'll just start singing. Well, you all know that my wife, she knows every song there is in the book. She knows all the words. And this morning I was coming to church here this morning, and she was she wasn't ready to get up. I'll just tell you that much. I started singing, and boy, that just changed her whole mind attitude right there. So the Lord is my song. I have to use the Lord as my song, and you should too. Number three, the Lord is my salvation. And I'm not just talking about getting saved. I'm not just talking about going from death to eternal life. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about someone who comes alongside and saves me day after day after day after day. You got to have that. You got to get to that point in your life. You say, dear God, I need your salvation. I need you. I need you to help me through this thing. I don't understand it. You got to help me. I've never been down this trail before. I've never been down this road before. I need your help. I don't know what I'm feeling today. I don't understand that. Why am I feeling that? Some of you diabetic people out there, you got some funny feelings in your old body, and you just can't figure some things out. I'm telling you what, that's a medical problem. That's not a spiritual problem. That's a medical problem. I understand it's a medical problem. And if you can, go get it fixed and help have somebody help you with it. Talk to people that's got it and help you do it. I know there's a few people come to me and say, boy, preacher, this is what I said. Well, that's a normal thing. That should not surprise you when you have diabetes. It does some crazy things. It makes you think funny and makes you cry. All of a sudden you start crying over some of the stupidest thing. Why are you crying? You know, what's the deal? And then all of a sudden I remember, ha, ha, my sugar's low. I better go check something. And then that makes me happy because then I go. But anyway, number four. Yeah, diabetes knows what I'm talking about right now. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. All right. Number four, the Lord is my God. Nothing in my life stumps God. You may be having trouble in your life, and you may be having problems in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't stump God. God knows exactly what you need, and that's why we need to go to Him in prayer. The Lord is my God. He's got to be my God. The Lord is my Father God. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. What a wonderful verse. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father God, and I will exalt Him. That's Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. That's a wonderful verse to remember. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. There you go. He has become my salvation. And he is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Number six, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. It's a wonderful thing to have a God that never moves. It's always the same. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problems come, the heartaches come, he's still God. He has not changed. He is my rock. He is my hiding place. He is my place that when I do not know how to handle things, I go to him, I hide under the rock. David talked about the shelter of the rock in the storm. He's our shelter. He's our rock. 2 years ago, Brother Rudy Smith and I went sailing. He's got a sailboat, catamaran, and it only goes where the wind pushes it. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so you got to tactically go back and forth when there's a wind, and you can actually get back to the same place, all right? So we're out in there, and all of a sudden, guess what we see in the horizon? Lightning. Not a good idea, because catamaran had this great big lightning rod right up the boat. And he says, "Pika! We got to get this thing off. We got to get out of this boat. You got to put this." What do they call that thing? A sail, or what do they call it? The mast. "You got to put that thing down." And I said, "No kidding." And we got under, and there was a place that the wind had blown, and we got underneath this rock, and we just saw, and it poured a crazy pour. Here's the problem. We got out in this catamaran, and there's no wind on this lake. Huge lake. No wind. And Brother Rudy says, "Dear God, give us some wind so I can give Brother Shara," he called me Shara, "a good ride." I said, "Brother Rudy," I said, "you better be careful how you praying, brother." Sure enough, buddy, after that storm was over, the trouble is we're going the wrong way. Brother Rudy, smart. He carried his cell phone with him in a two Ziploc bag. He called up his friend and said, "Hey, bring that boat over here and pick us up and pull us back home." I'd still probably be there. Amen. But we got underneath that rock, and the storm came and the lightning came, and we're safe. You know, sometimes storm, all you can do is hide sometimes. All you can do is hide. You don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been there? You don't know what to pray. "Lord God, what do I pray for? I don't know. I don't understand," you know. And we get under the rock and we say, "Dear God, hide me in your rock. And dear God, Holy Spirit, pray for me. I don't know how to pray." Then the Lord is my fortress. We live out here in Montana, and even Lewis and Clark built forts. They built forts to keep from getting being vandalized and you know what, amen. And we have Fort Benton, we have Fort Shaw, these places around here that they were there to keep us from being encroached by the enemy, amen. And number eight, the Lord is my deliverer. Second Samuel 22:2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my strength." Older you get, you need strength. Don't have the strength I used to have. My goodness, I see Brother Stan Martin over there in Kalispell. He's a weightlifter, and unbelievable how much he weighs. I mean, I think he lifted the other last week 500 and some pound deadlift. That's pretty good, amen. And so we need strength. Some of you dear little sweet mamas that take care of your kids, You need all the strength you can get. Goodness. That's why they make you young. Amen. That's why old people don't need that. Amen. You can bring them over for a while, but take them home quick. Amen. The Lord is my strength. He gives me strength. A couple years ago, I took my wife on a ride on my motorcycle, and my motorcycle was brand new. And it's a big motorcycle. It weighs almost 900 pounds. And I was going out towards Stockett. And when I went past Stockett, I thought I'll just follow this road. Well, I forgot that I didn't take the road to the right will take you on pave. On the road to the left, it stops. And there's a hill of gravel, and so I got the gravel, and I went to turn around in the middle of the road, and I said, Marcia, I said, I want you to stay still now. Don't you rock this boat, you know. And when I just started turning, she goes like that. I said, don't do that. I don't know what she wanted to do that for, but she did it. And I said, don't do it. I said, we'll tip this big old thing over. And she said, okay. That's all she said, okay. So I went to turn it off again. She did it again. I held that bike like this, and I couldn't hold it, so I just laid it over. And she rolled off the back, and I got a special seat for her. She can't get hurt on there. And when she's riding with me, she wears leathers and all these pads and things, so if something does happen, she's taking care of them. She's got a helmet on. But we were stopped, tipped over. And you can imagine this hill coming down like there, my motorcycle laying on its side. I don't know what to do. And I used to be strong, and not only smell, but, I got in there, and I put her over the side of the road, and I said, no, you stay there. And she's laughing. She thinks it's funny. And I just tipped over my brand-new motorcycle, which is not funny. If you're a motorcycle, first of all, if you own a motorcycle or you're a motorcycle, that's not funny when you tip a bike over. That's just kind of not nice. And so I went over there, and I never picked up a big bike like that before. And so I grabbed it, and I grabbed it by the saddlebag, and I pushed it, and I couldn't get it up. And I said, dear God, I didn't ask for what's going on here. But I said, you got to help me. I've never complained about it, but I said, you got to help me put this thing up. And I tried the second time just about, and then the third time I said, dear God, you got to help me. And I finally got it up far enough that I was able to flip out the kickstand and get it and turn around. Just when I did that, here comes another car down there. And said, what happened? I said, nothing. It's all right. I said, you minded my wife stand by your car and so I can put her back on the bike. Well, what's going on? You know. But I'll tell you what, God gave me the strength. I couldn't have done it. Later, I found out that a good friend of mine who is a motor cop down in Bozeman, some of you guys know him, He's just a little guy, just a, not much. Just you can blow him over with the wind, amen. He says, preacher. He said, you know that they're, you know, but I pick my cycle up all the time. If I tip her over, he says, all you have to do is you back into them and use your backside to pick them up. And man, I'll tell you, it works, doesn't it? I tipped it over. He's going over to get his motorcycle license, and they have to do all these things. And I asked the lady, I said, and she used to work with my wife at Shields. I said, can I take mine through? She said, sure, go ahead. I said, if I fail, you can't take my license away, right? And she laughed. I said, no. So I did a couple things and did all right. Well, the last one I went through, she kind of got in my way. She was close to me, and I hit the front brake, which is the worst thing you do, amen. And I tipped her right over, right in front of the gal that gives the test. And all of a sudden, she grabs the back of my motorcycle. I said, I'll help you. No, I said, don't touch it. Don't touch my motorcycle. It's okay. I'll take care of it. And I just backed right in there, picked her right up, and nothing to it. And I don't want to do it again. Don't like to do it, but I do know how to do it now, amen. But I'm just saying that God gives us strength. When we don't know, I think that there's sometimes in life you'll see some superhuman strength that God gives to you. I've seen people, heard people picking up cars when their child was underneath the car. And all of you have heard about that or some superhuman thing. Listen, there's a God who loves us and he knows where we're at and nothing surprises him. He knows what he's going to do and he knows how he's going to help us. Now also I know that there's sometimes it doesn't work. But I do know one thing, that God is of all strength. He's also my buckler. He's one that keeps me together. The Lord is the horn of my salvation. Horn always deals with strength and power. The Lord is my high tower. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Number 14, the Lord is my shepherd. My grandfather was a shepherd. My great-grandfather was a shepherd. We even have Rachel Shepherd here. But anyway, win now. Some of you are going to sleep on me. I don't want you to go to sleep. But we have Sandy Shepherd. But anyway, my family raised sheep for years over in Switzerland and in America. And there's just something about a shepherd. My father was gone, and I was taking care of the sheep. I was taking care of the whole farm, and the dogs got in our sheep one night. And some of you have heard me tell us they killed 47 sheep one night. And I was just a punk kid, and I jumped in the truck, went down there, and of course, you ever work on a farm, all flashlights don't work. Either the light, the bulb burned out, or the batteries are dead, you know. And I just grabbed my dad's Winchester 94 30-30 and jacked in some shells, walked in there, and I didn't know what I was going to find. And it was about 5 miles from my home, and I heard them barking and growling and sheep bleating and batting. It was the most scariest sound I ever heard. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to shoot in the air. I shot 3 times, bang, 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 and all of a sudden the dog went, ay-yay, ay-yay. Now, I know I didn't shoot him because I shot up in the air, but I think he'd probably been shot before he went. A big old boxer dog and another pretty good-sized dog. My dad, the next morning, caught him in there, and he took care of him, amen. My dad come to those sheep that next morning, and he called out to them. And those sheep just come, it sounded like a thundering herd coming at him. And when they got to him, I never seen anything like it. He spoke to them, just like you'd speak to your dog or your cat or your horse, whatever. And those sheep just quiet down. It just quiet. You know, I was in college, and a professor was teaching on Psalm 23, and he said, and he restoreth my soul. And I got it right there. That's what my dad did. He restored the souls of those sheep. They just quieted out. The most amazing I ever seen. So when the troubles come, the heartaches come, and the Father speaks to you, He will restore your soul. He's also my light. He's my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? There's a lot of things you're afraid of. And God says, let me tell you something. I'm going to take care of you. Don't you be afraid. It's going to be all right. This little girl came forward this morning. I don't know if you saw her or not. She came forward and she says, it just seems like I'm so afraid right now. And I was able to talk to her and remind her that God, she's never alone. That God is always with her. Always with her. The Lord is my strength. He's my shield. You know, some things happen to us we don't understand. Some things just about happen to us that don't happen to us. I remember Brother Terry Ross and I and Jim Holloman, we had went to the Intermountain Baptist Fellowship deal in October, and we went down to, I think it was down, clear down in Wyoming there, and we were coming back, and I had my wife's brand new PT Cruiser. My son had bought her for, and all of a sudden, we're coming this way, and this car was going there, and a deer jumped over top of our PT Cruiser and hit the van that was going that way. I'm telling you, what a racket. Boom! And Jim says, Marcia would have killed you. That's the first thing he said. Instead of saying, praise the Lord, that thing didn't hit, said, Marcia would have killed you. So, but the Lord is our shield. As the Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my shield and my the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. I think the psalmist has this idea. He said, I have seen God help me. I have seen God shield me. Therefore, I'm going to thank God for what He has done for me. I see what God has done in my life, and I look back and say, you know what? I was shielded there. I was shielded there. That could have happened to me. That could have happened to me. I remember one time I was getting pretty close to a young lady, and something happened. It just didn't work out. I really believe with all my heart that God shielded me. God shielded me. God shielded me. I remember the scripture where the Pharaoh says to Abraham, Abraham said that this, that Sarah was his sister. And and God talked to the Pharaoh, and he says, he said something. He said, well, Pharaoh said, well, I didn't do anything to her. And he says, because I didn't let you. There's a lot of things that we take, there's a lot of things that we take on ourselves, thinking we were really big on it, that we really did something. Most of it's because God shielded us. You know, there's a lot of people so proud of what they've done. For the most part, it's not what we've done. It's what He has done. He shielded us from the trouble that we could have really got into. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of trouble you can get into. Being a teenager, you can get in a lot of trouble. And being a young man, you can get in a lot of trouble. Being a young lady, you get in a lot of trouble. But God shields us in that and helps us endure those things. So the Lord is my shield. And then the Lord is my defense. The Lord is the rock of my refuge. Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The Lord is my strength. I said before, the Lord is my song. I said before, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my portion. It's always nice to have a portion. It's always nice. Yeah, you grow up. We had this thing when my boys were growing up. They get the right portion. And we'd all be digging into something, and I'd say, okay, here's the way it works. One guy cuts, and the other guy gets the choice. That always kept things pretty straight at our house. So if you had a piece of cake, and there's only one piece of cake left, one of the boys had to cut it, but he was the last one to take the piece. In other words, here's a piece of pie. One guy cuts it. The other guys get their first two pieces, and he gets the last piece. So guess what he's going to do? He takes his micrometer out, his caliper out. He's making sure that it's just exactly, because he wants to make sure that he gets his share. Amen. Some people just cut it off and say, okay, you can have the rest. That don't work at my house. Not with my three boys. They're so competitive. They had to have everything had to be just so, you know. And that was one way we kept a lot of trouble, brother. I'll tell you what. All right. Whoever cuts it is the last one to take it. It works great. Amen. It's always nice to have a portion. We ought to thank God for the portions God's given us. God is just so good to us. The Lord says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Lord. I think of his name, but he used to go to the queen all the time. And he would say, he begged the queen for something. Lord, what's his name? One day the queen got so mad at him, and she says, Lord Byron. She says, Lord Byron, when are you going to stop asking, always begging? He says, when thou quittest giving. When thou quittest giving. Yeah. I'm telling you, you've got a God that owns everything. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Or we ask amiss. We don't need that. There's so many people today that forget that God says, hey, I'm your portion. And if God says I'm your portion, I got everything you need. He said, the Lord is my portion. Sounds like he got everything going for him, doesn't he? Amen. Pretty smart fellow. Amen. Jeremiah, he wrote the Lamentations. He said, the Lord is my portion. And then the Lord is my God. Zechariah tells about it. He said, I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver and refined, and I will try them as gold and tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they say, the Lord is my God. The Lord wants us to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. He said, man, I've just did everything I can for you. Now, I want to hear from you, amen. And then he's, Lord is my helper. So, can you say in the Bible, the Lord is my, what is your favorite thing of God? The Lord is my. I hope today that you just fall back in the arms of God. Many times, years ago when Dr. Jekyll House passed away, Johnny Coulson got up and he, and of course the church was just, Dr. Hiles died of a heart attack on the table. And it was a tough, tough time for a lot of people. And especially the First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. And Johnny Coulson, that Sunday night, this is what he said. I would like to just go put my pajamas on and climb in the lap of Jesus and let him hug me for a while. Oh, that, I thought that's good. You know, it's good. Troubles do come. Heartaches do come. But we have a God that understands all our heartaches and sorrows. He understands that. He understands the burdens we have. He understands the intricacy of this world and the problems going on. He understands, like the other night when most of us were just blown away by, all of a sudden they're shooting them tomahawks over in Syria, and boy, I tell you what, will you like it or not, the world is so thrilled about it. I just heard today someone from Syria says, finally that you help us, you Americans, you finally helped us. They're killing our babies, they're killing our families, and finally someone cares for us. I know you don't, y'all don't think a lot alike about a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, our country is in great peril today. Got a lot of troubles going on, and we need to pray for our country. I don't know if you heard or not, but in the Philippines, they just put the U.S. Embassy just put out that American citizens should not travel into Philippines, or if they are in the Philippines, they should not be traveling, because the Abu Sayyaf is after them, and they're trying to kidnap every American citizen, and they're trying everything they can to. Boy, we need to pray for our friends in the Philippines. Boy, I'll tell you what, there are some good people over there. I love that country, and we got a lot of things going on in this world, and we gotta trust God. I just want to bring this to the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He will take care of us. He'll supply us. Hey, with the prophecy coming and all the things that are happening around us, hey, there is always a shadow. There's always something that the prophecy is coming, but there's also a shadow of it. It's getting things to work. You know, the Bible talks about it. Everybody will see. Well, partner, everybody's got, either you got an iPhone, or you got an iPad, or you got even a lot of people have those, what do you call those things? Watches, huh? Smart watches. You know, I guess somebody said they can talk on them now, right? They're like a phone. So, you know, it's, why should this surprise us? They're talking about a cashless society. Why would it be a cashless society? You got plastic, amen. They're talking about putting chips in your hand and putting chips in. I haven't heard anything about the forehead, but chips in their hand that they just walk by the scanner and it transfers your money, and they're saying that we're trying to get away with currency. And I just read the other day in the newspaper, it said, I should be cutting these things out. It said that they're trying to get the elderly people to cash in their money, to put it in the bank. We don't want cash anymore. There are places in New York right now that if you come in to pay your bill in cash, there's like a 5 or 7% surcharge on using cash. It's crazy.
Here they're saying,
well, the reason is we don't want counterfeit money. That's the reason. It's easier to transfer funds. So these things are happening. We Christians ought to be glory, hallelujah, and shout and say, the Lord is coming soon, amen. But this is just going to be terrible. Listen, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, though there are shadows of prophecy coming and happening, the moment that God says to Jesus, it's time, Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet and we're going to be out of here. Absent body, present from the Lord. Present with the Lord. That's God's promise to us. So don't be so afraid that it's going to happen. Oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, trust the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you. Exciting. You read the paper. And say, wow, look at that. That's amazing, you know. So we're headed. Amen. Right now, people would take anybody to straighten out all this terrorism in the war, wouldn't they? They'll take anybody. If they can fix it, well, what are we looking for? It's called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to set up his reign. 3.5 years, he's going to give peace, and then the last 3.5 years, he's going to take over Jerusalem. He's going to, and I was talking about that Wednesday night. I'll talk about this Wednesday night. He's going to take Jerusalem. He's going to really gut Jerusalem. All the Jews, they're going to scatter. Man, they're going to get out of there. Amazing things going to happen. Amen. But there's still going to be that 144,000 that are going to be preaching and preaching and preaching. That's an amazing thing. So, hey, look up. Your redemption draws nigh, the Bible says. It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive. Did you ever believe? You know, my old granddaddy, you know, my great granddad used to plow behind a horse. And now we got tractors. Oh, Scott loves this. You got tractors, you get on that, they got GPS, and you just push a button. And I rode in one last year. I got on this big old John Deere tractor, and it had a big computer screen and everything. And he said, watch this. And he pushed the button, and that old tractor went like this and went straight down. He says, you push the brake, that's when you turn it. You have to turn it yourself, come back, hit the button, it'll just put your brake. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Scott, those lines of those, you know, my dad, he'd fuss about that. He says, that's wasting ground. He says, you gotta plant this straight. Boy, my daddy, I never could do that. Man, I was out enjoying myself, looking here, looking there, hoping a girl would drive by or something, you know, wave at her, you know, driving out track, you know. Yeah, not my dad, man. He just, whew. Oh man. Now they just push a button. Push a button. Air conditioned. Did you have air conditioning in your tractor?
Not when I rode it.
Not either, brother. I tell you, my dad did get one of his brand new John Deere umbrellas. Went out of tap. Oh, that was good. And he put a radio on it. Whoo, that was something else, man. Wow. That was, and then I went to college. I didn't even get to enjoy it. Then my dad gets a brand new John Deere tractor. Guess what? He got air conditioning, all that wonderful stuff in it. Life is good. Amen. Life has changed a lot. You know, what do we ever do without cell phones? Get so mad somebody doesn't answer the phone. I had a lady call me up. She says, how come you didn't answer your phone? I says, I'll take my wife to the bathroom, okay? She said, TMI. Too much information. All right. Well, then don't ask. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Amen. Glad to have you here tonight. I hope you be happy what's going on. Just rejoice. I think you ought to really pray for our president. I think you ought to really pray that God would certainly protect him. He's doing some crazy things that haven't happened for a while. And it's not crazy things. It's the right thing he's doing. And you pray for him that God would certainly give him wisdom to do right. Pray for all those in this country that would do right. And thank God we got a new justice. Thank God for that, amen. That'll save me as a pastor having to go to jail. Because if those other rascals got in, I'd be going to jail. Some of you would too. Some of you should be there, but anyway.